Title of our message today is Repurposed Prayer. And there's a tremendous spiritual truth and hope for us held in the topic that I hope to convey through the help of the Holy Spirit. All three of the synoptic authors give an account of a ruler, a leader, coming to Jesus, and the leader is concerned about his little girl, his daughter. Matthew reports, as he was telling them these things, suddenly one of the leaders came and knelt down. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 is where I'm reading. Knelt down before him, saying, "My daughter is near death, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus and his disciples got up and followed him. When Jesus came to the house, he saw that the flute players and a crowd were there lamenting loudly. He comes to the house of the leader, and he finds out that the little girl has died. And the mourners are already there. And then Jesus makes a statement. He says, "Stop crying, for she is not dead." She's not dead. He says, "Only sleeping." Jesus is presented, and in your praying and my praying, you can present Jesus, and here he is presented with an immutable earthly fact. He gets to the house, and the little girl's dead. It's over. Earthly fact. Immutable, undeniable circumstance, situation, and problem that is facing this father and facing these people and is facing you and is facing me. I've got them, you've got them. And yet, Jesus looks at that fact, the earthly fact, and he makes a statement that either Jesus is living in total denial or Jesus sees the heavenly reality behind what we call the earthly fact. That's how Jesus taught in parables. That's why he taught in parables. In Jesus' parables, he says, this is what it looks like on earth, but this is what it means through heaven's view, through heaven's periscope. This is what's going on in my life. And we had some prayer requests today, and we bring some immutable facts before the Lord. We bring things that this little girl, so to speak, is sick. This little girl is near death. You substitute in there whatever your issue is. And we look at that as an immutable, undeniable fact of earth. Yet what we need to learn in prayer and what God wants us to grasp here is there is a heavenly reality that is behind the earthly fact. Jesus sees into that reality. He sees into the problems and circumstance and situation, and he interprets it completely differently than what we do. I'm going to ask you to join me in this, because it has been tremendously influential in my life since the Holy Spirit has awakened me to this truth. And we are going to, together at Newville, I'm going to ask you to go along with me on a journey here. I'm going to ask you to to reinterpret and pray in a different way about the things that are in your life that are immutable earthly facts. And we're going to look at those things together. We're going to look at them differently. We're going to try and look at them. We're going to try and look at the heaven reality behind what you're praying about and the problems that you have. We talked about the logistics of prayer before, about how to pray. I mean, as far as posture and position and time of day and place, how you pray. And when Jesus taught on this, I've read the Lord's Prayer hundreds and hundreds of times, and you have too. But Jesus prefaces that with something very important. On the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us how to pray. And he says this from Matthew. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing on the street corners or standing in the synagogues so that they will be seen and heard by other people. He says, they've got their reward. That's the only reward that they're going to get. They're getting what they want. They're getting attention when they pray. But he says, when you pray, you go into your private room. I hope you have a prayer room, by the way, or a prayer spot. Because he says, when you pray, you go into your private room, you shut the door, you lock the door, and you pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Okay, that's the logistics of how to pray and how not to pray. He says, don't do it this way, do it this way. And don't do it this way, because if you pray for show, the only reward you're going to get is attention from other people. Conversely, if you go into your closet and you shut the door and you pray to your Father in secret, you are going to be heard by your Father, and your Father will reward you. Your Father will be there with you. So that's logistically how to pray. Now, how about the content and purpose of praying? Can we repurpose our praying? He goes on. Jesus goes on. And when you pray, he says, don't babble like the idolaters who think that they're going to be heard because of their many words. He says, don't be like them. And here's the topic. Here we get into the money phrase. He says, don't be like them. Why not, Jesus? Why shouldn't I babble like the idolaters? Why shouldn't I use many words? Why? He says, because your heavenly Father knows the things that you need even before you ask him. Your heavenly Father, the God that you're praying to in secret, the God that rewards in secret, already knows the things that you and I need even before we ask him. And so Jesus is saying here, he says, you don't need to go on and on and on and babble like the idolaters and give Jesus and give God your laundry list of things that you need fixed. He says, he already knows. And he says, because of that fact, he says, therefore, you should pray like this. You should pray like this because that fact is true, because your Father knows. Therefore, Jesus is trying to repurpose our prayers, repurpose the reason that we pray. Now you're thinking right now that this is risky. You're thinking, if I don't babble on like the idolaters and make sure that God is aware of the things that I need, that he's going to overlook something or I'm going to miss something. And Jesus makes it very clear. He says, because what I just said is true, because the Father already knows the things that you need, even before you ask him, Jesus says, I'm going to invite you to pray with a repurpose. I'm going to invite you to pray for a different reason. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father, who is in the heavenly realm. Your name, here's what I want. God, I want your name to be honored as holy. Number two, I want your kingly rule to be extended. And number three, I want your will to be done. God, here, you know my situation. God, you know my problem. God, you know my circumstance. I am asking you, God, and Jesus is telling us to do this with those things. Pray that somehow, some way, God's name will be honored. God will be glorified. God's kingly rule will be extended. And God's will be done in and through this very sticky situation, this problem that I have. What is more problematic than a young girl, a young child, who has died? And yet Jesus comes and he sees something else when he looks at that. Now we're able to pray this way now because something happened in and through the work of Jesus. To understand this kind of praying, we also have to understand what the kingdom of God is. We have to understand what happened, that the resonance that went through the universe in and through Jesus' life and in and through Jesus' work. The kingdom of God has already dawned. The kingdom of God has already begun. The kingdom of God has already been inaugurated. The kingdom of God has already been initiated in and through the work and life of Jesus. Before Jesus' work, before Jesus' life, this type of praying was not possible. Jesus is inviting us. You know what Jesus is inviting you to do? To take the situations in your life and to ask boldly and confidently that somehow, some way, God's name be glorified and honored through that situation, that God's will be done in that situation, that God's kingly rule will be extended in that situation, instead of steering God to fix something that is a problem for you. Do you see this? Do you see the difference? Do you see what Jesus has done here? Lazarus is in the tomb. And some of this is a bit of a review because I started this so many weeks ago. But Lazarus is in the tomb. Martha, his sister, comes up to Jesus. And she says to Jesus, "My brother, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died." Jesus says back to her, "Your brother will live again." Martha says to him, "Yeah, I know he's going to live again at the last day, at the resurrection." And Jesus makes a startling statement back to her. He says, "I'm the resurrection. I'm the life." Jesus says, the great last day has already begun. The great last day has already dawned, and I am here. It has already begun. It's here. Jesus then goes to the tomb. Jesus tells them to roll away the stone. And Jesus then proceeded to show them the heavenly reality behind the earthly problem. And the heavenly reality was that Lazarus was very much alive. Your problem, your situation, your circumstance has already been dealt with. It's already taken care of. The heavenly reality of what you're dealing with, get this, the heavenly reality of what you're dealing with is that the little girl is not dead, she is sleeping. Your situation is not dead, it is just sleeping. Lazarus was very much alive. Jesus makes that clear to Martha. He says, it's already occurred, Martha. I'm here. The resurrection has already started. The great last day has already been inaugurated, and there's something true about your problem, Martha, that you can't presently see, but I'm going to show you with my miracles, I'm going to show you what is presently true about your thing in the heavenly realm. I'm going to show you what is permanently true about your thing in the heavenly realm. Repentance is the way to enter the kingdom. Prayer is the way to experience the kingdom here and now. This type of prayer, repurposed prayer, Jesus is telling us to pray in such a way, not so much to bring something to pass. Now watch this. He says, your father already knows the things that you need even before you ask him. So I'm going to tell you, because of my work and because of my life, you can now pray with a new purpose. And the purpose that you are to pray with now is that you see what the heavenly reality of your problem is. That you see into and behind what seems to be the immutable fact, the permanent problem. And I'm going to invite you now, Jesus says, with prayer to experience what is presently true about that situation in the heavenly realm. Prayer prayed from the heart with this goal will always be answered. 100% of the time, your prayer prayed from the heart about this sort of thing will 100% be answered. You pray in such a way that you can say, God, I don't know how. God, I don't know why. God, I don't know what's going to happen, but God, this is my desire. And my desire is that somehow, some way, glory be brought to your name. Somehow, some way, your name be honored. Somehow, some way, your kingly rule will be extended and that your will be done in this situation. And then, if that is the sincere goal of your life and your heart, you step back, you stay with that attitude, and you watch what God will reveal to you. Is this clicking? Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus says. Do you do that in your praying? Do I do that in my praying? Do I seek first the kingdom of God when I pray? Do you? Because Jesus makes us a promise. He says, if you pray that way, if you live that way, if your heart's goal is to seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, he makes us a promise. He says, then all of these things will be added unto you. That's exactly what he did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He showed Martha, he showed Mary, he showed all those spectators. He says, this is the heavenly reality that will occur in your life when you first seek the kingdom of God. This was so powerful with Jesus, and he saw so clearly into the kingdom of God. And he knew what the heavenly reality and the heavenly truth was about every problem and every situation that was brought to him. It was so strong for him that he actually caused molecular change to occur in people's lives. He actually caused physical changes in people's lives. This is such a powerful concept. You and I can pray that way. You and I can, first of all, take the risk. Take the risk of letting go of your of your demands and your attitude and your plans about the way you think the things in your life should go. Take the risk of letting go of that and take Jesus at his word. And you say to Jesus, you know, I'm just going to seek first the kingdom. I'm going to pray that your name is glorified. I'm going to pray that your name is honored. I'm going to go there and I'm going to stay there, God, and I'm going to trust you. And then God will he will show us the heavenly reality of the earthly thing that you're praying about. If this is prayed by you from the heart, if this is what you're seeking first, if this is your goal, Jesus promises me and promises you that it will 100% of the time be answered. 100%. Which, of course, requires my transformation. You know, I think I've been thinking this week, am I being transformed? I'm wondering, is the Holy Spirit transforming and changing me? Is my faith enough of a driving force in my life that I am becoming a new and a different person? Because to pray this way from the heart and to seek first the kingdom of God is something that is beyond my ability, to be quite honest with you. It is something that I cannot do. Because every single time I let go of seeking first the kingdom of God, you know what I find in my praying? I find my praying degenerating into what Jesus said, just don't do this. He says, don't babble like the idolaters, because your heavenly Father knows the things you need even before you ask him. And when my seeking goes from seeking the kingdom of God and my seeking goes toward seeking the kingdom of Tim, I find that my praying falls right into line with that. And I start babbling like the idolaters, making God aware of what I think should be done and what I think should be fixed. And Jesus says very clearly, he says, don't be like them. Don't pray like them. I want you to repurpose your prayers. And now your praying is going to be purified. Now your praying is going to be geared at seeing what is presently true in the heavenly realm about your earthly situation. Purified praying. Prayer is the way to experience. Repurposed prayer is the way to experience the kingdom of God and to experience it here and to experience it now. Purified prayer is the way to take Jesus at his word when he says to Martha, it's here. It's me. The last day has dawned. The kingdom has been inaugurated. Every problem that you're bringing to me has already been dealt with. Every problem that God's people bring to God, he's already aware of. He's already dealt with it. And there is a heavenly truth behind it that you can't presently see. The beauty of praying this way and the beauty of coming closer to thinking like Jesus is that we actually begin to see into this other world and into this other reality. You know, I'm going to stay close to Jesus. Do you know why I'm going to stay close to Jesus? Because I look at his earthly life, and everywhere he went, the heavenly reality spilled out of him into where he was going. And people that were with him, people that were close to him, got to see into this reality. So I extrapolated out from that. And I figure that if I do that now, if I stay close to Jesus now, how you doing with that? If I stay close to Jesus now through scripture and through prayer, do you know what God is going to do? You know what happens to me? I start to think and see the things that Jesus thinks and saw. because I put myself back in first century Palestine, following around Jesus of Nazareth, and the things that those people saw and the things that his disciples witnessed were simply because they were so attached to him. You see, that's an aspect of Christ-likeness that we often overlook. Christ-likeness has many, many facets to it, but I think one of the most powerful facets of Christ-likeness, something to maybe jot down, I think one of the most powerful facets of Christ-likeness is that we begin to think like him and we begin to see things like him. The most powerful facet of Christ-likeness is when a situation is brought to us in our mind or we're dealing with something right now that we actually say, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. You see? You see the heavenly reality behind the earthly problem. To glorify God, to honor his name, to extend his kingly rule, and to do his will is, as we talked several weeks ago, is the pinnacle of human experience. The pinnacle of human experience. And every situation, every Lazarus in your life, every problem that you have, every single detail brought to him with your sincere desire that God's name would be glorified and honored in and through that situation will allow you to experience the height of humanity, and that is to be his image bearer. Once you start to experience that, and once you plug into that, and once that, has it happened to you? Do you have fleeting glimpses of that sometimes? You see, that's what we were created for. Not the parody of what the world tries to foist upon us, of what it means to be genuinely human. God made humanity, and he said, the height of your experience, what is going to make you human, and what is going to make you genuinely human, is that you are going to be my image bearer. And when you are my image bearer, you will experience what it means to be genuinely human. So here we come to Jesus with a situation, with a problem, and we say to him, I want this fixed. I want my daughter to be healed. I want my brother to be healed. And when we're plugged into that other reality, what we actually start to see, no matter what your problem is, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what health issue you're facing, no matter what, you will start to see the heavenly reality behind that fact. And will that not change the way we live? Will that not change the way you think? Will that not change the way you experience life? It will be the height of human experience. And when that happens, and when you experience that truth, and when you understand that, and when God's power starts to reside in you, and you start to see what is presently true in heaven, your praying will be purified. I'm going to invite you to experiment with this. But at the same time I say that, I will also say this is not something that you can just muster up. It is not something that you can just fake. It is not something that you can say, well, if I pray this way, God will really give me what I want kind of attitude. This requires transformation. Do you know what I'm praying for Newville Church? Do you know what? I'm not asking God. Here's how I used to pray. I used to pray that God would bring people into Newville Church. I used to pray that God would bring people in to support the services of Newville Church. I used to pray that God would fill the pews with people at Newville Church. Do you know what I pray now? You see, that's an earthly thing, isn't it? Now follow this. That's an earthly thing. But what I'm praying now is that I am praying that God will instill within you such a longing and a hunger and thirst for righteousness and a hunger and thirst for scripture. I'm praying that God instills, I name you by name, by the way, so be careful with this, that what God would instill within you such a desire to learn about him and his word that you can do nothing else but come to Newville Church. Do you see the difference? See, I'm praying that you will individually be so drawn to him that you will seek first the kingdom so strongly, and that the Spirit would drive you so much with that that you will do nothing else but support the services of Newville Church. You have to. You have to come. You have to hear Scripture, because that is what we do here. Any situation that you have, instead of praying for the earthly fix, pray instead that God would reveal to you the heavenly reality of the earthly fix that you're dealing with. Is this tracking? You see, Jesus is inviting you, he's inviting me to pray with a different purpose. Oh, he says, I know that's risky. He says, I know it. Jesus says, I get that. But the idolaters pray that way. The idolaters babble on with many words, thinking they're going to be heard. The idolaters think they have to keep reminding God of how to fix their situation. And Jesus says, you don't have to do that anymore. He says, don't be like them, because your heavenly Father already knows the things that you need even before you ask him. So what you can now be free to do, this frees you up to pray in a new purpose. It frees you up, listen, it frees you up to pray so that you experience the height of human experience, and that is that God's name would be glorified, honored, his kingly rule extended, and his will be done in and through this situation that looks like a Lazarus situation, a hopeless situation. Martha says, it's no good. He's been dead 4 days. It's over. Jesus says, take the stone away. Jesus says, I'm about to show you, Martha, and I'm about to show you, Tim, I'm about to show you, Dan, what is presently true about your earthly problem. I'm going to show you the heavenly reality that is a permanent reality, that is immutable reality. And Jesus felt so strongly about that. Jesus believed that so strongly. Jesus saw into that reality so strongly. Like, as I said, he actually changed physicality. Do we have that same power? We're looking for miracles. I'm going to tell you the secret to miracles. The secret to miracles is to, as Jesus said, plug into this other reality. What does he say about? He says to Nicodemus when he comes to him in the middle of the night. Remember what he said? Nicodemus says, gee, I see you doing all these miracles. I see things happening. And Nicodemus says, I just don't get it. What is it, Jesus? And Jesus says back to him this very simple statement. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You see, we look at being born again as salvific, as just salvific, as a way to get to heaven when we die. No, that's not what Jesus meant when he was talking to Nicodemus. Text is important. Context is more important. He was telling Nicodemus, if you're born again, you will start to see into this other reality, Nicodemus. You'll see the kingdom of God. Do you believe that we can see into the kingdom of God right now? Do you believe that that heavenly reality can be something that we live by right now? Jesus is inviting us to do just that. But the requirement, the immutable requirement, every promise in Scripture has a requirement, is that you be born again, is that you stop thinking like earth. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Stop thinking like the world. Stop praying like the world. He says, don't be conformed to the way the world thinks. You need to be transformed. And the way you're transformed is that you have a renewing of your mind. And when you have a renewed mind, aka being born again, being born into another reality is what Jesus was saying there, being born into the fact that we as God's people now have another reality that we plug into that the world knows nothing about. And yet we degenerate our prayers into an earthly thought. We degenerate our prayers into a conformity with the world. Here's my problem, God. You need to fix it. And Jesus says, yeah, God knows you've got that problem, but you commit that problem to his glory. Watch this. You commit it to his glory, and your thinking will change. You'll look at that problem differently. It will no longer exert a tyranny over you, no longer have you in a stranglehold. Amen. Thank you, Kay. The height of human experience is to honor his name. And when Jesus gives his prayer and he tells us how to pray, what he is saying to us is, there is an exciting, invisible world at work all around us here and now, and you have the opportunity, because Jesus inaugurated this new world, Jesus ushered in this new world, Jesus says to Martha, the last day has already dawned. It's me, I'm here. It's already dawned, it's begun. You can start to now live out of that reality. I want to plug into that exciting invisible world. And you know, for one reason, because the world that I can see and the way the world thinks is a little depressing. And so, I mean, really. And so, you know, so many of God's people live under the tyranny of a conformity to the way the world thinks. And it's reflected in your praying. And if we're transformed, if we're born again, if we have a renewed mind, we can start to now pray repurposed, pray to see it. Like Jesus said, you'll see the kingdom of God. And you'll see it applied to your particular situation, and it will change the way you live now. This is, we're going to expand on this topic. We're going to expand on the kingdom of God. We're going to expand on what it means. We're going to expand on this type of praying. We're going to expand on your life that Paul says is already hidden. Remember in Colossians? Your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. And what that means. And your prayers will be purified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the desire of my heart is that you would be glorified through this message. You would be glorified through this church. Amen.